And our reading will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7, excuse me, starting at verse number 11. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, verse 11. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son. And she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. Amen.
Amen.
Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. You got to put your Bible or your device down. Look your neighbor square in the eye as you grab them by both hands and say, "Neighbor,
Jesus
sees you.
Neighbor,
Jesus
sees you."
Now turn and point at somebody else. Point at him and say, "Neighbor, is that okay with you?" We have entitled our message this morning, "Jesus Sees You." Now, we have to understand conceptually, what are we talking about? Because I know that you heard in the church, because I honestly didn't grow up going to church. But I've heard stories about folk growing up and going to church. And then the folk will always tell you, "You know God sees what you are doing." Right? Ain't that what they told you? Now, in so many ways, what were they telling you that to make you feel good about yourself? Or were they telling you that to say, "You know what, whatever mess you think you're going to do, you better not." Oh, so come on now, work with me. You know, somebody know where we're going with this. So you see, and because of that, in so many ways, we've taken that upon ourselves and sometimes to play God. Because we're always looking at folk and seeing what they are doing. And as soon as they get out of line, Mother Arthur, we're going to point out, "I just saw what you did." But don't you dare look at them. They're just watching you. You see, but the interesting thing about this whole thing, Angel, is that we have put negative overtones in understanding that Jesus sees you. I want you to know, I'm so glad he sees me. Now, I know there's some stuff that he sees. I'm like, "Lord, can't you just close your eye this time?" But then there's other stuff that he sees. Then there's other stuff that he sees that we realize that, "You know what, Lord, I'm feeling good about that."
All right.
And then there's times the Lord sees us in our hurts, in our pains.
Yeah.
He sees us when them kids act like they ain't got no good sense.
Yeah.
And it hurts us to the core.
Oh, yeah.
He sees us when we get frustrated with stuff and our life doesn't seem like it's going to go right. You see, we have to understand Jesus sees us. And you know what? I don't ever want him to close his eyes on me. Even though I know, that I don't always dot my I's and cross my T's. Yeah, I know that there are times I am truly not getting an A+ in class. I know there are times, boy, I got to catch myself because I know I'm just like you. I'm just as human as you are. Put me in the sun too long, I'm going to get darker. Feed me too much, I'm going to get stuffed. Step on my foot, it's going to hurt like it hurts you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That in all that we do, I want you to know Jesus sees us. But what I want us to do right now is I want us to look at a story, a biblical story that we're seeing, a biblical account of what happened between Jesus, a mother, and a son. Those goes from verses 11 through 15. And then at the back end of that, y'all, we're going to look at what's called the crowd. Y'all ready to go take this journey with me? Amen. I know some folk looking at me. Don't look at your watch. If you start looking at your watch, you might make me preach longer. Oh, hallelujah. I ain't coming back to that church no more. I know there ain't none of y'all thinking that way. Oh, hallelujah. But listen, I want us to see something. Because I want us to open up our minds and let God show us something. And I know some folks saying, well, this ain't no Mother's Day sermon. You don't know that until you keep listening. What we have here is Jesus, his disciples, and a crowd who was in awe of him, following him as he just left Capernaum. While he was in Capernaum, what happened was that there was a Roman centurion that came to him and said, Jesus, I got a slave that is sick. And all I want you to do is speak the word. You ain't got to come and touch him because Jesus, I'm a man in leadership. And when I tell folk to do something, they do what I say because I have the authority. And then what he was saying to Jesus, bro, I got that little bit of authority, but I know you got all power in your hands. And that if you speak the word, things are going to happen. And when he spoke the word, don't you know they ran and told the centurion that your slave has now been made whole. Now this happened while he was in Capernaum. And so he packing up and leaving because I want you to know Jesus ain't letting no grass grow under his feet. Amen. So he left Capernaum, and as he was leaving there, he was heading to Nain. And as he was heading to Nain, of course his disciples went with him. And then there was a crowd that saw all that Jesus had done and said, you know what? I don't want him to get outside of my sight. I got to keep him in eyes view. So wherever Jesus go, I'm going to go. Because I know he ain't going to take me nowhere that's going to knock me down. I know he ain't going to take me nowhere that's going to hurt me. So wherever I go with Jesus, I know I'm going to be all right. Do I got a witness in God's house? We got some folk who've been traveling with Jesus for a mighty long time in this place. Do I got some witnesses who've been traveling with him for a while? And has he stirred you wrong yet? Hasn't he been there with you through thick and thin? Hasn't he brought you through the storm? Hasn't he been your shade on those hot days? Hasn't he been the one that put an umbrella when it was raining hard? I tell you, oh, what a mighty God. But come on, let's get back to the story. Let's get back to the story. Let me give you this picture. We have Jesus, his disciples, and Reverend Rhoda, a large crowd that came with him from Capernaum. And as they are making their way to the gate of Nain, I want you to know, before they could enter the gate, I want you to see something. There was a man who was dead, who was being carried on a bier. A bier is just basically a big wicker basket, which is stretched out, and that's where you would lay a dead body on. Well, today when folk die, either we cremate them or we put them in a coffin. Same principle, but they were taking him on this bier to take him out to the tomb because they were going to bury him. So what we're seeing right there at the gates of the city, death and life, they collide. Death and life were colliding there at the gates of the city. And as they were colliding at the gates of the city, we had folk coming into the city rejoicing. We had folk coming out the city crying. So here we're seeing sorrow and joy are colliding at the gates of the city. We saw joy trying to get in the city, but we saw sorrow coming out the city. And it's amazing that the two collided at the gates of the city. Don't you know that there are times when you collide in with some stuff in your life? Have you ever had a good day and it seemed like everything was going well, but then all of a sudden somebody dropped a wrench in your situation? Have you ever had a scenario where you were feeling good about what was happening in your day, but then all of a sudden you got a phone call about this and about that? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to know that joy and pain are always colliding. But what we have to understand is that when the two collide, the question is, who's going to win? Brother Phil, can we talk about it for a minute? You see, because I want you to see something. This mother was burying her only son. And to top it off, her husband had died prior. Because she was a widow. And you know, she must have been somebody that might have had a little bit of stuff. Because you know why? She had some professional mourners with her. And they had some folk playing instruments. But you know what? She was walking and weeping. Walking and weeping. And since she was crying, everybody around her was walking and weeping. Walking and weeping. Colliding with joy and excitement at the gate of the city. Weeping had met joy at the gate of the city. Now, somebody had to give way. Somebody had to wait for the other to get through. But what happened here, y'all? Jesus, when he looked at the situation, Jesus saw the mother and could feel her pain and sorrow, Deacon Rosa. He could feel her pain and her sorrow. Well, I don't say that in scripture, but it says in scripture he had compassion. The only way you can have compassion for somebody, you've got to feel what they are going through. You can sense what is happening to them, because you realize that through the grace of God, that ain't you in that situation right there. Because all of us in here have dealt with some pain and sorrow. Do I got some witnesses in God's house? We've dealt with some pain and sorrow. So Jesus had compassion. And in having compassion, Deacon Booth, what Jesus did was he looked at the mother, walked over to the mother, looked her square in the eye and says, "Do not weep." You know what's interesting? This woman didn't ask Jesus to do nothing for her. This woman ain't come asking Jesus to heal her son. This woman was about going and weeping and walking, because her dead son is up there on this bier, and there are bearers who are carrying it. So she's finished. She's thinking that everything is finished. He's dead. I don't have my husband. Dead. My son. Dead. And you gonna tell me, do not weep? How you gonna tell me not to weep? Do you know what I'm going through? My son, whom she carried for 9 months. Her son, whom she birthed out of her body. Her son, whom she rocked asleep in her arms. Her son, whom she nursed from her own breast. Her son, whom she fed and watched grow and become a man. Expecting that he would one day bury her. But she's burying him. And you're going to say to me, do not. I'm walking and weeping. But I want you to know, this lets me know sister girl didn't know a whole lot about Jesus. I ain't mad at her for that. Jesus wasn't mad at her for that. But she didn't understand who was saying this to her. She didn't understand the capabilities of the one who said to her, do not weep. She didn't realize that what David wrote back in that psalm, weeping might endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. She didn't realize while she was walking and weeping, joy had met her right there at the... Oh, somebody going to work with me. Right there at the gate, joy had met her in the midst of her weeping. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy, I'm letting you know right now, her joy had met her in the midst of her weeping. And her joy told her, do not weep. Now, once Jesus said this to her, Reverend Rose, I can see the folk around her looking at Jesus. He gonna tell her not to weep. She's paying us to weep, and you telling her she don't have to weep. Something wrong with this picture. Yeah. Something here ain't happening right. But then Jesus, after he said that to her, y'all, if I can paint the picture even further. After he says that to her and folks start whispering around her, Jesus goes over to the bier and touches it. Because he's touching it to let the brothers know who are the bearers. Y'all need to stop right where you are. You see, we're about to stop what is happening right now. Because what's happening right now is not something that's going to lift us up. What's happening right now is causing us to go down and not up. What's happening right now is causing us to look back rather than look forward. What's happening right now is making us think that if this is how things always come to an end. There is no reason for this young man to have to die and his mother have to bury him. So there is something wrong with the picture. All that was going on was negative. Folk couldn't see any positive. But when you inject Jesus into a situation, I want you to know that positive is brought to the situation. So Jesus touches the bride, tells them this, and as he touches it, the bearers stop. And when they stop, Jesus, they figure, okay, maybe he's going to say a couple of words to him, angel. Just say something over the body so it make the mother feel good. That's why he told her not to weep. But Jesus said, young man. Do y'all see it here in scripture? He said, young man. I say to you, he said, rise. He didn't say get up. He didn't say stand up. He said, rise. Some of them might have thought he lost his mind. Because if you talk to something dead, it can't hear you. But what they didn't realize was that they were talking, the one who was talking was the one who is the giver of life. Don't you know whenever God speaks, things hear what he says? I don't care what state it's in. When God speaks, God brings upon change. And when Jesus spoke, he was bringing change to the situation. When he spoke, you know what the man did, Phil? He sat up. Some folk might have said the only reason why the body sat up, because you know that you know, for those who understand the process of when people pass, that after folk pass, the body every now and then, the muscles have reflexes and things just happen. So they might have thought, well, he just sat up because the muscles just reacted. But it specifically says he sat up and then he what, y'all? All right, that folk can't talk. So it's telling us that when Jesus told him to rise, don't you know that he sat up and began to talk to let them know he ain't dead no more. He's now alive. And I want you to know that when he did that, those bearers of the bier, they had to put it down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, don't you know that there's some stuff when Jesus comes around, we got to learn how to put it down. Because Jesus came so that we can rise up above some stuff. And there's some stuff I want you to know we got to learn how to what? Put down. And don't you know when they put it down, Jesus grabbed the man by his hand. And when he grabbed the man by his hand, he took him right to his mother. Oh, somebody going to work with me? You see, Jesus said to her, do not weep, because he was letting her know, I'm about to do a miraculous thing right here in your presence. And Jesus took that dead man, brought him back to life, and then gave him back to his mother. You see, that's letting me know Jesus sees you. Not just when you're good or when you're bad, but whenever you're going through, Jesus sees you. But can I tell you something else? You heard me say earlier that this mama didn't ask Jesus for nothing. But Jesus was also showing us something that I need you to catch in the story. Jesus was letting us see what the spirit of a mother is like. You see, because too many mothers do a whole lot of stuff for their children, and the children ain't asked for it. Don't you know once you was born, angel, you ain't know how to clean yourself, wash yourself, take care of yourself? And your mama right there took care of you. She carried you for 9 months. And when she got to her 9th month of pregnancy, she had her waddle walk down pat. And then all of a sudden she realized it got too heavy to carry. It was time to let you come on into the world. And once you came into this world, you ain't asked your mama to take care of you. Mama just did what mama had to do. You see, and that's the whole thing about mamas. Mamas do what mamas got to do because mama love their children. Mama have compassion for their children. So when their children are going through whatever's, mama's going to always step right in. Do you see this? You see, and that's what we see from this story is that mama will be there for their children. And what Jesus understood in this story also was that the mama loved her child.
Yeah.
Her only son. She had already had enough weeping in her life. God said, I've come to bring you joy. You see, when I'm here to tell somebody in here today, there's some stuff you've been weeping over for a long time. But what I want you to do right now is turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, joy's on the way. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I know there are some things in our lives that bring us to tears. But what I'm here to tell you, joy is already on the way. Why? Because Jesus sees you. And since Jesus sees you, he's going to make a way for you. It might not come when you want, but he's going to be there right on time. I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, that there's something else I want us to see and gain from this story. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, catch this. Jesus is teaching us another lesson. The other lesson that Jesus is teaching us is that we got to be a people that have compassion. When you see people walking by you who are broken, who are hurting, we don't just step by like we don't see him. You got to understand that Jesus is the difference maker. You see, when Jesus met the sorrow, the pain, and the anguish and the death there at the gate, I want you to know that he made a difference in that situation. Jesus is the difference maker. And since he came to make a difference, he was letting his disciples know, don't you dare turn away when you see something going wrong. You run right to it because I've given you the ability and the power to overcome whatever you are faced with. You don't believe me? Come here, Peter and John, because you know they were at the gate called Beautiful back in Acts number 3. And as they came to that gate, there was a man who was lame from birth, who was sitting there with a cup in his hand asking everybody for some offerings. But don't you know that Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but that which I have I give unto you. Rise to your feet, stand up and walk. And you know what that brother did? He went walking and leaping and praising God, and he went right into the temple. This is telling me that they got the story right. You see, my brothers and sisters, we got to understand something today. If we're so holy, hallelujah. You're going to see somebody broken and just walk by like, I ain't got time to talk to them. My hand might get dirty. I ain't got time to look at them. I ain't telling them to use those drugs. They strung out because they wanted to be strung out. I ain't tell them to be an alcoholic. They're an alcoholic because they wanted to be an alcoholic. You see, when you can't have compassion on folk, don't you know it's the only reason why that ain't you there? It's called God's grace and mercy. Because you know, some of us made some stupid mistakes. Some of us done some stuff that was wrong. But the only thing is that stuff didn't knock us down. We made some mistakes, but didn't the Lord pick us back up again? Didn't the Lord bring us through? And now that he brought you through, he ain't bring you through to walk by folk who are going through something. You are called to be a difference maker. So make a difference. Pray for them. Encourage them. Let them know the same God that blessed me is the same God that'll bless you. Do I got a witness in God? You got to let God use you to see what folk are dealing with. Because when you think you're all that, bag of chips, how many sodas, Nicole? 2 sodas and a shake on the side. If you think you're all that, my brothers and sisters, you're in the wrong place. Because God ain't blessed you so that you can talk about how you got the big house up on the hill, about the car you drive, how much money you make. When you understand that God has blessed you with all that you have, it is not for you just to hold on to, but to help somebody else. And when you start helping somebody else, the Lord gonna bless you even more, because he realized he can trust you with what he's given you. And when you go and help somebody else, he'll give you more to help somebody else, to help somebody else, to help somebody else, because God has called us to be difference makers. Now, whew, I'm getting excited. Here we go. But look. The story thus far is about Jesus, the mother. That's all right, baby. And the son. Y'all see the collide that happened at the gate? Death met life at the gate. Sorrow met joy at the gate. Disappointment met encouragement at the gate. But I want you to know every time they met, I want you to know joy came out on top. Life came out on top. Encouragement came out on top. Why? Because that's called Jesus. Because Jesus has everything we need to make it through this life. And if we put our hand in God's unchanging hand, tell me what he won't bring you through. Somebody in here done been through hell and high water. And guess what? You are still here. Other folk gave up on you, but you are still here. Brother Simpson saying, I made it. Only because the Lord had kept him here. And the same thing is true about you. But this is the thing I want you to see. The last thing you got to see. In verse 16 and 17. It says in 16 and 17. It specifically talks about the crowd. You see, there was two crowds that were there. There was one crowd of mourning. One crowd of joy. It doesn't tell us specifically which crowd was bigger. It says a large crowd was trying to come in and a large crowd was trying to come out. So I don't know who had the larger numbers, but I want you to understand something. When you got Jesus plus anything, you got more than what? So I want you to understand something, that once Jesus did what he did, it wasn't just for those that were coming out. It was for those that was getting ready to go in with him. So when the entire crowd saw what had just took place, it says they were seized. Come on now, do we see it right here? It says fear seized a few of them. Most of them. See the word all of them, it doesn't say the crowd with Jesus. It doesn't say the crowd coming out or the crowd going in. It said what? All of them. And once they all saw what happened, you know what the next thing they did, y'all? Was they glorified God by saying, a great prophet has risen among us. You know what's interesting? In order for the man to get up, Jesus told him to what? Rise. And now the crowd is saying that he ain't just telling him to rise, but a great prophet has what? Risen in our presence. And don't you know they began to praise God? And as they were praising God, they also said, God has looked favorably on his people. You see, my brothers and sisters, look around you, look around you, look around you, and look at what person said, God has favored you. Look at somebody else and say, God has favored you. Some of y'all ain't doing it now. Do I need to point you out right now? I'm going to give you one more shot, or I'm going to call some names. Turn and point to somebody and say, God has favored you. There you go. You see, I want you to understand that you are favored by God. You might not have it all together. You might have some stumbles in your life. You might have some stuff going wrong in your life. You might not have done all that you ought to do. But I want you to know you're here today because God has favored you. And you're here because God is blessing you. Whether you accept him or not, God is still blessing you. But I want you to know that when you know him for yourself, and you look back over the pages of your life, you start to realize that this could have took me out, that could have took me out, this was supposed to take me out, but through the grace and mercy of God, I am still here. So since I am still here, I've got to give God the glory. Since I am still here, I've got to praise his holy name. Since I am still here, I ain't gonna act like God ain't done nothing for me. He's done a whole lot for me. Since I am still here, I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to magnify his holy name. Because I am still here. Because Jesus sees you. Now, you know what somebody needs to know in here today? They need to know that you are somebody. Because when I look at this mother, I don't need but just a couple more minutes. When I look at this mother, how do you think she was feeling about herself? How could God love me if he loved me so much? My husband, dead. My only son, dead. So while she's walking and weeping. She's feeling that I must have did some bad in my life. Because if I hadn't done something bad, my husband and my son would still be here. And even if I did something wrong, maybe you called my husband, but Lord, not my son too. She was walking and weeping. And here we see how Psalm 30 comes into the play. Weeping may endure, but joy. There's somebody in here today who's weeping over some stuff that has taken place in your life. You're weeping because you feel broken. You feel that what happened must have been my fault. You're weeping because you feel that in so many ways life has been unfair to you. You are weeping because you feel that, God, if you love me, if you know who I am, how can you let me go through so much? You know, she never asked Jesus to do anything. But I'm pretty sure that she had a conversation with God about what was going on in her life. And looking at all the bumps and bruises that she had to face. And then I don't know of how long her son was sick or did he die suddenly. We just don't know, but what we do know is he dead, and mama is struggling with it, trying to figure out, what do I do now? But don't you know, we serve an on-time God. He's an on-time God. There it is. So where others might think the Lord came too late, I want you to know that he came right. You see, I want you to know, whenever God shows up, it ain't never too late. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't never too late. Look at your neighbor again and say, it ain't never too late. You see, some folk are saying, Lord, it's too late now. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't never too late. The Lord will always step in right on time. It ain't never too late. Because when God shows up, he will show out. And he's going to do just what he needs to do right there in that moment. So it ain't never too late. So I want you to know, as we all rise to our feet, the opportunity is given to you, my brother. The opportunity is given to you, my sister. Your life matters to Jesus. Other folk might think you are insignificant. Other folk might think because of the mistakes you made, you don't deserve another chance. Other folk might look at you and laugh because of some of the mistakes you made. Weren't necessarily all that smart. I made some stupid mistakes. I ain't going to talk about you. I made some stupid mistakes. But all I'm saying is, but when you come to Jesus, he'll correct the stupid mistakes we made. He'll correct the stuff that has been causing us to live a life that is broken. So what I'm saying to you right now, the Lord wants to touch you. You know why? Because he sees your pain. He sees your hurt. And what he is telling you is, change is ready for you. But are you ready for the change? Sometimes we get comfortable in feeling bad. We get comfortable in our pity parties. But what I'm telling you today, don't feel comfortable any longer. Let God have it. Well, I'm embarrassed. What are you embarrassed about? What was more embarrassing than Jesus being beaten and having to bear a cross and drag it up that hill called Golgotha and having folk laugh at him,
that's right,
spit at him, mock him? And as he's walking, he's not saying a mumbling word.
That's right.
And then when he gets to the top with his beaten, bloody body, they nail him to that cross. And when they lift that cross up, they had already put a thorn of crown a crown made of thorns on the top of his head. So blood is dripping down his face.
That's right.
And then they get at the base of his feet and they say, you saved others, save yourself.
Can you imagine?
But he did what he did so that you and I don't have to be embarrassed no more. He